You pointed out, we'll begin our meeting in the usual way with the public forum. Tonight we have one speaker, and that is Tracy Coit from the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Ambrose. Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me here tonight. If it's all right, I will just read off my iPad. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this evening. My name is Tracy Coit and I am a nurse currently working as an organiser in the public health team of the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association. Research tells me that Warrumbungle Shire covers an area in excess of 12,000 square kilometres and includes the towns of Coonabarabran, Barradine, Coolah, Dunedoo, Binaway and Menduren. There are New South Wales public health facilities in four of these six locales. Rather than reinvent the wheel, I would like to credit the General Secretary of the NSWNMA, Mr. Brett Holmes, for the following excerpt from his opening statement to the Parliamentary Inquiry into Rural Health. In recent times, media has highlighted that there is a crisis in healthcare delivery and in healthcare services across rural, regional and remote areas of New South Wales. This is most evident in smaller communities, particularly those serviced by small or D hospitals and multi-purpose services. Consequently, a parliamentary inquiry was established and public hearings are currently scheduled. The government has promised more nurses in the base or regional referral hospitals, that's the B's and the C's, but sadly nothing for the smaller facilities. These health services are reliant on bare minimum nursing staff levels and very often without the assistance of a doctor being present. The shift to an increasing reliance on virtual doctors or telehealth does not acknowledge the fact that this has removed the very important pair of hands that doctors were once able to provide when they responded to emergencies. And there has also been no recognition that nurses are now forced to try and replace the hands of these doctors, as well as performing their own nursing roles. It becomes an increasingly impossible task when you have an emergency such as a cardiac arrest. The nurse in this scenario must perform their own clinical role as well as acting as the eyes, ears and hands of the doctor. This is not safe for the patient and it creates an unreasonable level of pressure for the nursing staff. We have to fix this problem. If we are to rely on virtual doctors, and yes, they absolutely have their place, nursing numbers must be increased. We need shift-by-shift nurse-to-patient ratios and we need minimum nursing numbers in our system, in our small districts and community hospitals and in our multi-purpose services. Recently, we presented our award claim for 2021 to the Ministry of Health, stating that to maintain ultimate patient and nurse safety, there should be a minimum of at least three nurses on every shift in every facility. Two of whom must be registered nurses with skills and qualifications in first line emergency care. We also know that these nurses need to be properly supported and to work in a safe environment. Currently, the safety and security of our members is at extraordinarily high levels of risk in these rural and remote settings. If this is not addressed, it is inevitable that there will be further tragedies in this area. We've all spoken about it. We've all been warned. The question will become, what have we done about it? If nothing is done, these facilities that operate in isolated areas, and bear in mind they often don't have police or security available for hundreds of kilometres in some instances, these tragedies are bound to keep occurring. The Sleep Health Foundation in 2011 said that if you drive after 17 hours without sleep, your performance is as bad as driving with a blood alcohol of 0.05. Once you get to 24 hours, you're looking at 0.1% blood alcohol. Our nurses and midwives do this on a daily basis. They don't drink and drive. They stay awake for 17 to 24 hours. They work overtime. They work double shifts. They get up at 7, or beg your pardon, they start work at 7. And if they're doing a double, they're lucky to be home by midnight. This is what we are asking our nurses and midwives to do on a daily basis. Why do they do it? To cover extreme staff shortages. Postcodes should not determine healthcare. We need safe staffing and safe working conditions in all regional and remote health settings to tackle this crisis. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Any questions, councillors?
You are going to present at Dubbo when the inquiry comes?
Yes, so as the organiser for Western and Far Western local health districts, I will be representing our members, and there will be some members being questioned by the parliamentary committee in Dubbo, Wellington and Cobar. We believe that in the second half of the year, further dates have been provided by the inquiry committee. So we're working on those. Yep. So I will be in Cobar on the 30th and in Dubbo and Wellington on the 19th and 18th of May.
But what do you reckon you can do to fix the idea, fix it?
I think, look, what we need to do is we need to speak up. We need to sign the petition that the association has put out. There's a QR code on our campaign poster which takes you straight to the petition page. Those petitions we will use to lobby our local MPs. The MPs need to have their constituents on their side to maintain their seat. So we've tried talking to Mr. Hazard, we've tried talking to Ms. Berejiklian. It's communities that have the larger voice. This is your community. This is your health facility. You know, if you don't speak up about it, we can advocate for you and we can support you, but we don't have the magic wand. We need numbers, we need voices, we need MPs lobbied, we need people to sign petitions, and we need people to say this is not good enough and this is not safe and our community deserves better.
Could I just ask you a question too? The telemedicine, how far can you take it here? I mean, if there's no doctor present, what level can you do yourself if you need assistance?
I think probably a better way for me to answer that might be, if I just may. If I present to a public health facility and there is no doctor on site and I have an open fracture, so I've got a bone sticking out of my arm, I'd be perfectly happy as a patient and as a nurse with a doctor on a television screen. But if I'm a dehydrated person who the nurse needs to cannulate to get fluids into me and I don't have a vein suitable for that process, that doctor on that TV screen can't help me. If I am in respiratory arrest and I need a breathing tube put down my neck, that doctor on that TV screen can't help me. And if I'm in a facility where there is one registered nurse and one enrolled nurse and I'm in cardiac arrest, I'd want to hope that I've got my will up to date because my chances of survival are not good. You need three active nursing staff to perform a safe cardiac arrest. You need one to maintain an airway, you need one to do the CPR, and you need one to administer drugs. Yeah. So the telehealth has its place, absolutely. It's amazing technology, but it should not replace doctors on the ground. And without doctors on the ground, we must boost up the nursing staff.
Have you experienced any delays accessing a doctor at the other end of telehealth?
Some of the issues that the association has been made aware of with the telehealth system is that the nurse is required to do a thorough and complete assessment of the patient and then log a call. They then wait for a doctor to call them back. Now, I believe that that happens in quite a timely manner. Sometimes those doctors are not in Australia. They're in another country. So first and foremost, they don't understand the geographical location of where Barradine MPS is in New South Wales. They don't understand the distance to take some blood and get that blood, have a look at that blood and see what's going on with this patient. They also don't understand the isolation that these nurses quite often work in within their own facility. So the example I would like to give you, because it's a little bit further away from here, is Bourke. Bourke is shaped like a squared-off boomerang. At one end, you have a residential aged care facility, which will have an EN or an AIN. And at the other end of the building is the emergency slash acute area with the registered nurse. No doctor. So when the emergency comes in, the staff from the residential aged care section will come up to assist in the emergency department. Who's looking after them down there? Alternatively, Mrs. Brown falls out of bed and fractures her hip, the registered nurse comes down. Who's up in the emergency department? That's what we're faced with. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Tracy. I think your concerns align with Council's. We've had a bit of a push in this area too, so...
Lovely.
Thank you for that tonight.
Thank you very, very much indeed, and thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to the Council. I was treated very respectfully by Erin and welcomed with open arms, and thank you all for your support.
Very good. Well, then we'll proceed with the agenda items. Oh.
No. I'll make a comment. Thanks for that presentation. I'm the Deputy Mayor. I also happen to have been a VMO here for almost 25 years, and I've had a lot to do with medical administration and medical health policy. So a lot of what you say, in fact, all of what you've said is true, but I think you've also left out some important points. And sadly, what I have seen over the years is that nurses themselves, in the way they divide themselves between administration and nurses on the ground, have to accept a lot of the responsibility for the problems we find ourselves in. There's an insistence that nurses have to be the managers of these smaller hospitals, and that is not always the best approach, I'm afraid. And I think you'll find most nurses agree. Oftentimes, the nurses that are put into management positions are poorly trained and poorly equipped to be doing these roles, and that then leads to problems with workforce management, squabbling, inability to run business cases and run budgets. And then that problem flows on throughout the hierarchy. I think the nursing union has to have a good, hard look at itself and the way it distinguishes between the way it treats the nurse managers and the way it treats the nurses on the ground, because too often I see nurses on the ground being used as sacrificial lambs for the nurse managers. It is something really important for your union to address. There has to be a fair treatment of all your members, irrespective of what managerial title they carry. Doctors are often lobbying for more nurses. I think you won't find a single doctor that doesn't want more nurses, especially in these small hospitals. I, for one, continually raise this issue with management, who are nurse managers and nurse administrators, and I continually get told we're overstaffed, which doesn't match up with the fact that nurses are being hounded all the time to fill in shifts that can't, on rosters that can't be properly staffed. There's a huge human resources issue in these small hospitals, created by nurse managers, overseen by nurse managers, and there has to be pushback by the nurses to address this. I just simply do not accept these excuses that we keep hearing about we can't find staff. There are nurses in these communities who make deliberate decisions not to work for these organisations because of the way they get treated, because of the way they're patronised. For example, today I was speaking to a nurse who's been working at this hospital over 10 years and she's never given tenure of employment, and every time she has to apply for a new form of roster or variation, she has to go through the whole application process. Now, what's your union doing about that? That's totally unacceptable. Once an employee's been working for an organisation that long, they should have tenure. and yet they're treated like they're some disposable resource, just like the disposable equipment that is cheap and nasty that we see at these hospitals. It's just not good enough. So as a group, you need to look at yourselves and make some very difficult decisions about how you're going to look after your members and how you're going to push back against management, who sadly is often part of your membership group as well. I share your concerns about video medicine. It is a lot of unanswered questions. If you read our submission that we made to the Rural Health Inquiry, I think we summarise it quite well, so I'm not going to repeat all of that. Nurses are not equipped to be doing the assessments, and even those that might have ticked the boxes or filled in the forms to pretend that they've done the assessments, they are simply not trained to do it. It is not the way they think, it's not the way they've been trained, and it's a dangerous situation. And we should not be accepting this in communities such as ours, but it's been shoved down our throats. And they've created all these fancy surveys and all these media departments that try and make out that it's somehow what people want, but it's not what people want. Coonabarabran is being swamped with patients from other towns simply because patients want to see a doctor. They don't want to be looking down the video camera. Okay, I think I've said enough, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Well, thank you for that. So, on to the agenda items. Begin with the acknowledgement of country, which I'll do this evening. Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land at which the meeting is held and pays its respects to elders both past and present and extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present. Just make sure that all of your mobile phones are turned off. You'll be well aware of the new bylaw that we have now of donation to the charity of the Mayor's Choice if your phone rings during the meeting. And we just alert you that the fact that the audio, we're recording the meeting tonight. Next item is apologies. Mr. General Manager, do we have any for this evening?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Our councillors Clancy and Hill have indicated that they are unable to attend tonight's meeting.
We have a mover and a seconder to accept those. Councillor Lewis and Councillor Todd. All those in favour accepting those carried unanimously. Move on to disclosures of interest, pecuniary interest or non. Beg your pardon. Confirmation of the minutes of the meeting held on the 18th of March this year. We have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Cable, Councillor Todd. I'll put that motion. Carried unanimously. Now we'll move on to the disclosure of interest, pecuniary interest or non-pecuniary conflict of interest. Do we have any of those this evening? Councillor Capel?
I'll be leaving the room for Girigalang. The road.
Item 15?
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, and the reason for the disclosure, Councillor?
Friends with both letters that councillors have received and a bit of a sticky situation.
Fair enough. I'd like to add myself to the list there. There's item 12, the operational plan, the draft operational plan. I'm on the finance committee of St Lawrence's Parish, and I see that they've got an application in for some rate relief this evening. But I think it's a non-pecuniary conflict of interest and rather minor one, so I'll be staying put. Next item we have our summarial. We have a motion to note those two. Councillor Capel, thank you for that. Councillor Brady, all those in favour? Carried. Move on to the mayoral minutes. I'll just plead your indulgence before we get on to item one, councillors. As a mayoral minute, you will all be aware that we have the wings and things at the aerodrome on Saturday, and Councillor Capel would like to say a few words about some
Thank you. I would just like to acknowledge the work done by the Manager of Economic Development and Tourism in organising this. It started with meeting Matt Hall on Australia Day, and within effectively 10 weeks we have this huge event in Coonabarabin this weekend, and also would like to thank the Aero Club for all their support and all the other not-for-profits that are backing the event. I think it's a fabulous opportunity for Coonabarabin.
I'll agree with you there, Councillor. It is a fabulous opportunity, and I'll just note that the captain of the Aero Club too, for special mention there, Jason Newton, who I think anyone who knows him, he's a force of nature and he gets things done. So between those two good people, we've got a very fine event coming up this weekend and something we can all look forward to and all enjoy. Item one, we have the mayoral minute of the mayor's log of activities, kilometres travelled and expenses. So I can move that one. If we could have a seconder, Councillor Shinton, thank you for that. If there's any questions there, if not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you for that. Item two, we have the councillors' monthly travel claims. We have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Shinton, Councillor Todd. I think that's pretty straightforward there, so I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Item three is the minutes of the Internal Audit Committee meeting on the 18th of March. I was in attendance there, so I'll move that if we could have a seconder. Councillor Capel, thank you for that. Any questions or comment about that item? Very well. Well, I'll put the motion, the recommendation rather. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item four is the council organisation structure and employee costs. And we have a recommendation on page 18. Yeah, sorry. We have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Iannuzzi, Councillor Shinton, thank you for that. Any debate or discussion councillors want to have on this item? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. ARANA 5. Oh, ARANA 5, I beg your pardon. Item 5, ARANA Joint Organisation. We have a series of recommendations here on page 21. We have a mover, Councillor Shinton, thank you for that. Councillor Capel for the second, thank you for that. Any debate or discussion?
Yeah, so I'd just like to ask Mr. Mayor if the initiatives like bog purchasing, water partnerships, are they going to continue when the JOC is dissolved, or do we dissolve the lot?
The expectation, Mr. Mayor, is that those sorts of things will continue on. So the Water Utilities Alliance is still continuing with its work. We will have to look at different structures for them, but at this point in time, they're still carrying on.
So again, Mr. Mayor, is there a chance you can reform a rock or what?
Well, that's our very firm hope that we can do that. That was the feeling of the meeting. It was unanimous at the meeting that that's what we're trying to do. It's just that with this current structure, without the likes of Dubbo and some other notable absentees, and then the extra cost that it's trying to foist upon this organisation's, you know, look, an internal audit committee and all these things that with concurrent on costs that really make it an uneconomic process. And the feeling of the last meeting was that if we could go back to how it used to be, there'd be a bit of value in that. So with your experience, you'd...
Yeah, I feel that those rocks that were picked to, as examples to former JOC, they've seemed to have all survived. But look what happened to us. I mean, with all our members and then half of them decided not to join or were coerced into joining the Far Western joint organisation, that was the end of it. That was our death knell, I feel.
You're not wrong. I would just say I think coerced, I would say bribed? Would that be a better way of...
I thought coerced was a nice word. Yes, bribed. You're dead right.
Festival of dollars.
Yeah.
So with all of that, it's just the critical mass isn't there.
Fair enough.
A lot of them are going very well. A lot of JOs. Ours didn't.
Or affluent councils.
So the other councils in our JO have transacted this business at earlier meetings, but we thought we'd leave this till now. We had enough on our plate with other items, and the Minister for Local Government had enough to look at from Warrumbunga without this as well. So anyway, any more discussion? Councillor Capel?
Has the Office of Local Government made a comment about this recommendation?
That'll come.
I just thought with the others already having passed it, it might have already come to them.
Oh.
The first donor.
I have to get some Vincent DePaul, wouldn't I? I think.
It was off.
Fair warning.
A yard glass for that one.
Righto. Any more discussion on this item?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, the only question I ask is all the trouble they're having in Dubbo City at the moment, and their council is in a lot of trouble, whether they'd have a change of heart, because apparently there's going to be a new broom there.
Could well be, you would think, but I think we're planning to have one more meeting of this organisation.
Yeah, but that will be to wind it up.
Mm. Yeah. So to wind it up and then also maybe flesh out a bit of direction for what might come in the future. But then you're quite right, Councillor Lewis, I think that might be a change of direction there, and that might change a lot of things if they wanted to come on board. Right, well, we've aired that pretty well. I'll put the motion, no, put the recommendations rather. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Next item of business is item 6, attendance of councillors at council meetings. Some recommendations for us there on page 23. We have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Brady, thank you for that. Councillor Capel. Any discussion on this item? Councillor Capel.
I've spoken to our general manager about it. I just think 8 days business notice is a lot. I think that it's not hard to send out an invitation link to the meeting if somebody suddenly finds they're either medically unwell or they suddenly have a vehicle that won't comply with the trip, things like that. I just think 8 days needs to be shortened, personally.
Well, have you got a suggestion?
Well, I think 24 to 48 hours should be sufficient. As I said, it's just a computer link.
Would you...
I'll move.
..move that as an amendment?
I would.
Councillor Brady, are you happy with that amendment? So I'll... or proposed amendment, rather, I'll...
24 hours or 48 hours?
24.
Councillors, well, I'll put that amendment that we strike out the 8 day or eight.
It's not an amendment, it would just be the motion.
Okay. Before we put that, then, is there any other discussion or debate that people would like to...
new platform to present it? Because when I was in the Northern Territory, it was horrible last month. Full service, everything, but the delay was ridiculous. Like, I couldn't even talk because it was like 3 seconds delay. So what I had said, it was saying to me, and I was... Yeah.
And that was my... my preference is that we, if we can possibly all attend, I think it's best that we do because of the limitations that we've got. And, you know, that you had some contributions you wanted to make at that last meeting and you found it very difficult.
Yeah, it was easier not to talk.
So I think, you know, if at all possible, and I think that's the spirit of it, if at all possible, we should be here because I think it's better.
I don't disagree with that, but I also do think, my gut feelings, it's more the program than anything else. Because I don't have those issues when I'm on other platforms.
It's the same as me. And the free sort of, the real cheap platforms is Skype and Zoom and things like that.
I'll be brief, I just hate them.
I just ask you, Mr. Mayor, is the council making a submission on by the 3rd of May or is it up to the individual councillors?
I'm making one.
Yeah, fair enough. Council doing one or?
There's not an intent at this stage unless council directs as part of this recommendation.
And we would be open to that. I just thought the feeling was, well, we'll set the rules to suit ourselves and we'll suit ourselves.
But that's only until the new ones come out from them, unfortunately.
Well, we're in your hands, councillors, if you would like a submission put in outlining how we do business at Warrumbungle and why that's a good thing, we can organise that.
Well, my personal opinion is the technology's available. It opens up to a wider group of potential candidates at the next election. If they have that facility, it's not fun driving 2.5 hours every meeting when at times I'm really having to get across here and I'm not dealing with finding babysitters or anything at this stage of my life, whereas in my earlier years I did have children at home and dealing with picking up from sport and all of that, plus the distance to get here. I just think if you can make it easier when people have a hiccup in their daily plan, we might attract a wider variety, wider diversification of potential candidates at the next election.
We have a meeting, we can all stay at home and do it.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's what we need to do. Although we don't want to end up like Inner West Council where they are calling the police at their meeting on Tuesday night because it's the first time the councillors have been together since COVID hit and didn't go over exactly well, apparently. So we behave ourselves better than that.
But we do have the disadvantage, they don't, of no public transport, distances.
Accessibility is a big
accessibility thing. And it can be very rapid if there's a sudden big rain front and all of a sudden a couple of the councillors can't get across certain gullies. I think every councillor prefers to be in the room when able, but we need flexibility when circumstances make that extremely difficult.
You go on a holiday, you don't go on it. You know, take a holiday, just stay off it.
Yes, but there are times I haven't been able to get here because of a flooded gully and things like that.
We might come through the chair, Mr. Councillor.
I don't want to be whatever, but when I run for council, I was prepared to give up a bit of time to be a councillor. That included giving away a day to go to council meetings and the other meetings that were associated with council. I think formalising these meetings where we don't get together, we're going on dangerously thin ice. There's a new generation coming on. Unless one of these are an iPad in their hand, they can't breathe. We don't end up with a council that never sees each other. I think the chamber's the place to talk about things, not TV screens. That's my feelings.
You're wrong. All right, so do we... we happy with the motion as it is there?
Talking about the 8 business days, you're talking about, Mr.
About the 8 business
yep.
days?
Yep.
It's just taking into account what Councillor Lewis says, is there's no way to strengthen that it's, you know, we want, it's the last resort that we want people to take up, to not to come. You know, we don't want 4 empty chairs around the council, it just won't work. So how do we codify that?
Well, it actually says, Mr. Mayor, in the Office of Local Government procedures that councillors just can't decide. They want to meet by themselves and just tune in to the rest of the councillors at the meeting place. It's got to be a reason, and the reason would be flooding, sickness, you know, one of those things where it can be done like that. But otherwise, I don't think you can take the option of wanting to meet in your home and just ring in here. And I think that's the way we're all going anyway. Yeah.
The other thing there is, Mr. Mayor, is that it is also subject to a council resolution each time as well.
To allow the person to come in, if are you saying that?
No, to use the video link.
Yeah, but I mean, if I gave you 24 hours notice that I can't get through the flooded creek, the council can say no, I'm not. Well, that'd be.
I think they'd be held to pay. Mm.
That's up to the councillor, council. Mm. But.
Yes, we had that discussion, and I think it would reflect pretty poorly on the people who voted not to let a councillor come because they couldn't get across the flooded creek. I think that would... You would hope that that would be a self-limiting prospect because decency would stop that happening, you would think.
Mr. Mayor, I would draw councillors' attention to the fourth dot point on the attachment and maybe even the fifth dot point as well.
Could you just remind us of that, General Manager, please?
Dot point two, I think. A resolution by the council or a committee of the council permitting a councillor to attend one or more meetings by audio-visual link must provide the following grounds, and it goes into there. Next dot point says the council or committee of the council may permit more than one councillor to attend the meeting by audio-visual link, but must not permit all councillors to attend a meeting by audio-visual. And then the next dot point says a decision to permit a councillor to attend a meeting remotely by audio-visual link is the council's or committee's discretion. The council and its committees must act reasonably when considering requests.
I could pick the person who wrote that, actually, I think. So I reckon I could pick the person who wrote those rules. But anyway, I won't go into that.
Very good then. Councillors, with the... I'll put that motion as amended. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you for that. Item 7, Council Resolutions Report. I have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Iannuzzi, thank you for that. Councillor Todd. Recommendation on page 24. But before I put that, is there any discussion? Any questions? Well, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Next item of business is item 8, Revotes and High Value Projects Report. Councillor Cable, thank you for that. Councillor Shinton, thank you. Any queries? Very good. I'll put that motion there, or that recommendation rather. All those in favour? Again, carried unanimously. Our next item is item 9, the Customer Service Charter. Recommendation on page 27. Have a mover. Councillor Todd, thank you for that. Thank you. About our customer service charter. Councillor Iannuzzi.
To have a charter is one thing, but how do we monitor it and actually improve customer service, I think, is another thing. It's something we've been grappling with now for the entire 5 years we've been on council, and I think we've only made modest improvements, if any at all. It's still the thing that I hear time and time again from ratepayers. They contact council, they get responses in on time, they come to the front desk and no one can help them, or no one will give them a name or point them in the right direction. And of course, we look at the issues we've had in our discussions with lawyers and real estate agents that are still in some ways unresolved. So The charter's one thing, but I think we need to keep this item as a work in progress, and we really need to put in some metrics as to how we as a council can measure the responsiveness of our staff and measure the satisfaction of the communities.
Very good. Quite excellent. Any comments there, General Manager?
As far as monitoring is concerned, it is a topic that we discuss at ELT on a monthly basis. We have a report that's presented there which outlines those items which are outstanding and haven't been attended to either by correspondence, which comes through our info expert system, or our CRM system, which is our customer request system. And myself and the directors are constantly monitoring those and chasing up those items which are outstanding. While I do understand that there are still issues from time to time, from my own personal point of view, I find them much less than what they were when I first started.
But General Manager, and I'll just put the thoughts from the Chair that whether it's the Mayor or the councillors or the General Manager, directors or staff, we're all here to serve the good people of Warrumbungal Shire, and if we put that upmost in our thoughts, we won't go too far wrong. So with that, I'll put the recommendation. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Next item of business, item 10, the Macquarie Regional Library Quarterly Report. Recommendation on page 29. Councillor Cable, thank you. Councillor Shinton, thank you very much. Comment or discussion before I put the recommendation? Well, then I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 11, Community Financial Assistance Donations, Round 2. We have a recommendation, page 36. Councillor Todd, thank you for that. Cable, thank you. Need a debate or discussion on this item?
Yes, Councilor Mr. Mayor, Chairman. I have a few problems with some of these. The people who get criticised for these things are councillors, but councillors have very little input into this. It's the whole thing has been done by council staff, and when I look at some of the reasoning, I think to myself, how did you come up with that? You know, I read the how you're judging these things, and I can't come up with some of the things that are here. Yeah, like I noticed one, items 9 and 12, defibrillators for cooler. Two people have asked for them. We've given $500 each.
They're combining.
I realise that they are.
To,
but
to
we, then we go to I think it's Binaway, and I can't see it now, but Binaway have said, yeah, like we've got other funding. But they only get $480. What's the difference? I think if it's a defibrillator, $500. Yeah, like if that's our maximum grant, that's it. But Binaway only managed $480. Like I say, I can't find where I saw that. But the other one, Dunedoo Lions Art Unlimited, they get $500 in the little grants, and then they get a big one in the major grants coming up later in the budget. And reading through again the things that you judge this by, they've been going long enough now to have started to put some of their own money aside to fund year after year.
They do, but we're also a sponsor.
Yeah, that's fine too. But yeah, there's a double dip there in two of our, yeah, the $500 ones, which I think are for small organisations. They've managed to land one there, and then they land one a bit later on in the larger donations. But yeah, they're the sort of things that I have a problem with. I can't see why there's different amounts for different townships. And some of the assistance that's been asked for, if you don't get $500, no point getting $200. That's not going to help you. But anyway, they're just my feelings on the on this. But I don't know what other councillors feel. If you feel that because it's only $10,000 out of $15,000, then that's fine. I'll go along with you. But I cannot see how some of these things are fair when you cast across the different townships.
Well, councillor, what I was going to propose that we add as an addition to the recommendations for this item and then the next item is where we have a review of how these are, what's you know, eligible, what's applicable, and what you're talking about might form part of that review, if you would be agreeable. Because I think when we come to the next item of business, which I am proposing to move after the closed council, just because I'll explain that when we get to item 12, but I think, I take your point there. I think there's some organisations that, and good luck to them, but I think they just have someone that just fills these out and probably, well, not to put too fine a point on, they're probably in a better financial position than the council is. So, you know, if we might be asking them for a donation, to be cheeky, but their bottom line is healthier than ours, some of these, and I was just thinking if we have a review of how these are, who's eligible and who's not, we might be able to target this and tighten it up a bit better going forward.
I had some comments, but that will fit under that if we do that. But yeah, totally agree with what Peter said. Like 14, the CWA in Mendora and asked for 500, but 280 towards the ramp. Well, what's $280?
With our recommendation there for this item, can we have a point two that we Councillors Todd and Cope? Councillor Todd, would you be happy if we amend your motion that you've moved, that we conduct a review into the eligibility and the guidelines, thank you, General Manager, the guidelines for this going forward so that we can be happy with that?
And in line with other donation guidelines as well for the actual budget part two.
Yes, well, we'll add that to that too. Yeah. Thank you very much. That will be... that review to be finalised before next lot, which will be round one for the next, which will, that will be an item of business for whoever's in these chairs next council, won't it, I suppose? But we can,
Mr. Mayor, my comment on it, run along similar lines to Peter, but the one for maintenance of the silo art, for instance, too often we're seeing in council, especially if you've been around council for a fair while, well, we're given something as a gift, as in a grant money, aka the silo art at Dunedoo, and years later it becomes a budget item for the ratepayers to look after. And it happens in a lot of different things where Yallawuri Kids was at auspice, it was no cost to council, it was to be at arm's length to council. Now it's a big cost to council. And you're letting little things sneak in, like this silo art and other things, where there are things that were funded by grant money that were given to us for nothing, but all of a sudden it's a line item in our budget. That's one of the things you should look very closely at in your guidelines.
Well, I think we will.
So they knocked that back as well, so that silo art didn't get funded. Recommended.
Okay. So, I think we'll have a good review of the guidelines here, and I think we can tighten it up and target it a bit better and in agreement. So, councillors, are there any more comments on as it is as here for us tonight? Well, with the item as amended, we'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, with council approval, I would appreciate if we could defer item number 12 until later in the meeting. There is an item in closed council which may have an impact on the council operational plan and budget, and it might be a good idea to actually decide upon it first and then come back to this item. So, Mr. Mayor, a motion to defer this until after closed council.
Councillor Cable, thank you for that. Councillor Todd. Any discussion? Very well. I'll put that motion to defer it. Carried unanimously. Thank you very much. On to item 13. Minute.
53.
Thank you. Item 13, which is the Investments and Term Deposits Report for the month ending 31st of March. Councillor Cable, thank you. Councillor Shinton. Any debate on this item? Questions for the relevant? Good old days, hey? Anyway, well, we'll put that motion then. Carried unanimously. Okay, item 14 is a draft council residential property policy. Councillor Capel. Get a seconder. Councillor Shinton, thank you for that. Queries or debate on this item? Put that recommendation. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay, item 15.
Mr. Mayor, just a note that Councillor Capel has left the room.
Item 15.
I'd like to move that, Mr. Mayor, but the recommendation to me, I thought he must have made a mistake, because I would have said the request to change the name to Arana Road is approved, just because all the report indicates that the property numbering is based on Arana Road and not Gurang Gulang or whatever, however you pronounce that, Gura Gulang Road. There are two signs already there saying it's Arana Road, not Gura Gulang Road. And we have some people who are against, with good reason, against the changing the name from Arana Road to this name, or going ahead with what the old motion was, or whatever, however this was based. But in my opinion, we should approve the name and take it to the locals there for consultation.
So you're moving that with that amendment with a refused change to approved. Can we get a seconder for that? Councillor Todd, thank you very much for that. Any more debate or discussion on that item? Yes, well, as we were discussing before, Councillor Shinton, I thought my reading of our correspondence was we can accede to both their requests, because one wanted the name kept, Arana Road was the preferred option, and the other correspondent wanted certainty, and I think we can achieve both of those by consultation and notifying the Geographical Names Board and getting it so that emergency services know exactly what it's called and there's no further confusion. Or debate on this?
This is not,
Councillor Lewis.
I'm not saying for or against on that, but on these reports in our business paper, we've got attachments in our hard copy of our business paper. On here, we've got about 50 different attachments. You can't see what they are. Can we do something to tidy that up?
I'll talk to you after the meeting, Councillor, but the attachments do show which item number they refer to.
It'd be as simple as putting attachment number such and such on the business paper so I can press it there to read it.
It is.
I don't know which attachment it is. There's about 20 or 30 of them here.
Okay, well, we'll hope to sort that out for you after, Councillor. Well, we have a mover and a seconder for the motion as amended. I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Our next item of business. As we're waiting for Councillor Capel, here she comes. Item 16, Local Roads and Community Infrastructure Program, Phase 2. Recommendation on page 63. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Shinton, thank you for that. Seconder. Councillor Capel. Very good. Any debate or discussion on this item? Well, I have a few thoughts, but I've been given some information that sort of pointed me in a better direction. I thought we might have had some other options, but they might be a bit more expensive than we could afford. I was thinking of change rooms for number three, but et cetera, some different things. But we'll, if there's nothing there, we'll.
My only thing is the costings, how accurate, which I did raise with the director.
Happy with response?
Yep.
Go.
Mr. Mayor, I couldn't understand what you were saying. Renovate the change rooms on number three, that's there. Oh, you want it moved in priority, did you?
No. Well, just a bit of a ramble there. Sorry to confuse you, Councillor. We've got renovating the change rooms, but I was just wondering whether external fences might have been move down the list and we put some more change rooms there. So we've got, you know, dual change rooms for women and men. But the, well, we don't have the money to do that. I thought that was a good idea.
All right. Okay.
Bit of research, we're a couple of hundred thousand short. So nice idea and all, it's not doable with this pile of money. So the 100,000 should go a long way to smartening up number three, make it a bit better. No more debate or discussion.
When do we hear the outcome?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we're required to nominate these projects with the Australian Government. I'm not sure the turnaround, but they're keen to approve it as soon as possible.
No more debate or discussion. I'll put the item. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 17, Drinking Water Management System Improvement Plan. March 2021 update. Have a move in a second. Councillor Cable, thank you for that. Councillor Iannuzzi, thank you.
comments on this one?
Only I see we're waiting on DPIE.
Motion, those in favour? Carried. Seriously. Pass on. Item 18, Coonabarabran Water Security, Tymore Dam Raising, Dam Safety Upgrade Requirements and Increased Groundwater Allocation.
I believe we should increase the groundwater allocation to all move it.
Good, thanks, Councillor Todd. Councillor Shinton, thank you. Debate or discussion on this one? Thoughts from the Chair. I was wondering about the wisdom of deleting option or recommendation number 4. We don't have to put it as a priority, but it's still there.
I broached that with the General Manager before, but it really comes down to, by the time we get any more funding, we'll have to probably start again. Because all those reports already done only have a certain shelf life, don't they, before they have to be re-looked at, your engineering reports and stuff.
I'd have to take that on notice, Councillor. I'd have to check to see how long they would last for. But we are only a certain way through this particular project, and there are some significant reports yet to come if we are to continue going down this path.
Mr. Mayor, I read the report. I think it's an excellent report. And who wrote that? Ms. Weebles, and I agree with what she's saying now. The dam itself, if we do it up and have a flood, a release system upgraded, then we have to start releasing water, and that's been, we've got away with it for years and years because the way our system is set up, that a man has to physically go down and open the pipe to drain parts of the dam. I pointed out to the minister a couple of years ago when he was looking at the dam that the river environment between the dam and where water actually starts to flow again has gone. There is no riverine environment there anymore. I couldn't, he said that'd be a great argument. You wouldn't have to release environmental water because there ain't no environment there. I think that'd be getting harder and harder to do these days. So, in my opinion, the way the dam is now, doing up the safety issues, WHS issues with releasing the water to keep it the way it is, maybe we can get away without releasing too much. But I agree with what she said. If we put that extra on, that's what's going to go to the environment. And that was actually said to us in the original report, that the water we'd be saving would be water for the environment. And I don't, in my opinion, there's no environment left there.
And the same argument with the fish bridge. Environment down there now. Why build a bridge for them to walk up? Pretty much half the cost of the build. I find that extraordinary.
Councillor Lewis.
Mr. Mayor, reading the recommendation, if we have another drought and we haven't got water in the dam again, we've got 50 days water for Coonabarabran because we've only got a 50 meg licence. Never been upgraded.
Well, I think
with the bores and recommendation 3, apply for an increased licence, that should be done as a matter of urgency, regardless of the dam or whatever. But 50 megalitres, we use a meg a day in Coona, so we're taking the rest of the water illegally.
No, Councillor. We have a 800 megalitre licence from the dam.
I'm talking about the groundwater.
Yep.
We've just come through a drought where we weren't prepared. We should have that licence up and running yesterday.
Yep. And the thing that has been holding us up there is doing a hydrological study and getting the report done. So that has now been completed, and that's what we're saying here. We want to now progress to get that licence because we now have that study behind us to justify getting a 400 meg licence.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the report's provided as Attachment 4.
That's definitely...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that's why I think Ms. Weebles has written a great report. Have you read that report that's come through? Yeah, like, that's heavy weather. So, yeah, I agree with what her summary here and not pursuing the raising of the dam wall. I think that's good. And the fact that we should be applying for more licences, excellent idea.
Oh, I think so. That's the priority, definitely. Or that's the end of the discussion on that item. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Everyone except me. Our next item is the... put the glasses back on. Item 19, development applications. Councillor Cable, thank you for that. Councillor Todd, thank you. Any questions for the relevant director?
I was going to go crook about this, but I've got an answer here tonight. I don't have to now.
Very good. Well, if there's no discussion, I'll put the recommendation. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay. Item 20, notice of motion, Dandry Road. Have a mover, Councillor Lewis, I'm thinking. You can second the Councillor Shinton, thank you for that.
The reason I put the notice of motion in is cop and phone calls and verbals all the time about we never do anything to Dandry Road, it's neglected, it's supposed to be a school bus route, it's closed down, etc., etc., etc. I feel that if we do a public statement of the work that we have done over the years on the road and the money that's been expended, it'll help to quell that dissatisfaction within the constituents.
One can only hope.
The only thing I can say is I suffer the same thing, so that's the reason I've seconded. So hopefully we'll get a report back shortly.
Very good.
Otherwise we'll give him your phone number.
He's got the phone number and the address. All right, no more discussion needed here, I'm thinking. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Councillor Todd, you're in. Thank you. Carried unanimously.
Yeah, can take over. I think we'll go on block two.
Mr. Mayor, we now come to the items that have been considered into closed council. So there are a number there. Do you want me to go through them individually or move on block?
On block.
Block.
Who's moving, so, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councillor Cable, Councillor Todd. Ah, Todd, Councillor Brady. Goodness gracious. All right, I'll put the motion. We move this on block. Carried unanimously.
So, Mr. Mayor, the opportunity now exists for those members of the public to come forward and say why they don't wish for council to consider those items to be considered in closed council. There are no submissions, Mr. Mayor, so there's a further resolution there to now move into closed council.
Moving a second to that effect. Councillor Capel, Councillor Brady once again. All those in favour? Carried unanimously.
And councillors, we have our newly commenced newly commenced CFO and Newsom in the back there, just observing it, unless councillors have an objection to that.
None from me.
Thank you, Council. Just returning to open Council and announcing the decisions of closed Council. In relation to item 21.1, the Organisational Development Monthly Report, The resolution of council was that the organisational development monthly report be noted for information. Item 21.2, Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Report. The resolution of council was that council endorse the actions as outlined in the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project. In relation to item 21.3, SCADA and telemetry network upgrade, the resolution of council was that council, one, notes the information contained in the SCADA and telemetry network upgrade design and construct tenders report, two, accepts the tender for SCADA and telemetry network upgrade design and construct from R&D Technology Proprietary Limited for a total contract value of $833,543.55, inclusive of GST. Item 21.4, Coonabarabran Local Aboriginal Land Council reversal of general rates. The resolution of council was that council note the report in on the general rates exemption for 37 Coonabarabran Local Aboriginal Land Council properties for the 4 years 2018, 19, 20 and 21. Two, endorse the action to apply for general rates exemption for 37 local Aboriginal Land Council properties outlined in Table 1, amounting to $82,223.79 in this financial year. Three, redistribute the lost rates amongst all the rating categories for the 21-22 period. There was a further supplementary resolution of Council that Council requests a meeting with the Minister for Local Government about the exemptions that now apply to the local Aboriginal Land Council. Item 21.5, tender for the construction of Robertson Oval amenities, Dunedoo. The resolution of council was that council, one, not accept any tender for construction of the Robertson Oval amenities building, Dunedoo. Two, authorise the general manager to conduct negotiations with Dubbo Terrazzo and Concrete Industries with Mars Constructions. And three, that the outcome of the negotiations be further reported to council, providing a recommendation for a suitable builder. Mr. Mayor, that concluded the closed council reports, but there is a further item in open council that council needs to consider that was deferred earlier, and that is item number 12, the draft operational plan.
Thank you very much, General Manager. So we'll attend to that item of business now. Item 12, do we have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Capel. Councillor Lewis. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, and just to be clear with Council, that will include the adjustments as outlined in the closed Council report. So we just need to change the wording to recognise that. So just there's an acknowledgement of that.
Yeah. Councillor Cable. Councillor Todd. We had that supplementary item that we added in item 11. Well, point number 5 cover that review of the donations policy here, or will we need to make that as a separate point here?
Make it a separate point, point 6, I would suggest.
If we could beg pardon? Okay, well, we'll go with it as it is. So we have a mover and a seconder. Do we have any debate or discussion on this item? Councillor Lewis.
As I said at the budget workshop meeting, it was a resolution of council that the three race meetings in our LGA got a $1,000 donation or sponsorship from council. I've never seen that motion or resolution rescinded. It was the understanding of the three organisations that we were giving them that money every year. There was certainly the opinion of the people that I spoke to since that meeting when I found out that we weren't giving them nothing. It was a resolution to council. I know it was a past council, but I've never seen it rescinded.
I don't know whether it was a motion to council, but I put it up in the first place when we amalgamated in 2005 or 6, something about then.
Actually, it was Ronnie Sullivan who put it up. He was a member of the race club here in Coonabarabran, and I think it was all the race clubs got $1,000.
They all got the same?
Yep, automatically. Every time they had a meeting, I thought to myself, with the increases in money coming from the AJC to race clubs, I thought that must be making it very easy for them. But apparently, that's only for prize money. They can't spend that money on running their own organisation or repairs or maintenance, and to cover all the things that go wrong at race meetings. So there's still and the reason for us approving it was because it was driving tourism in all of the towns. In Barbara, you'd get close between 800 and 1,000 people will come on race day. It used to be for the weekend as well, which was a good boost to tourism. And for the smaller towns, they get their 400 or 500 or more. And that, again, was a good boost to tourism. That was the reasons for it.
In Barbara was on 2,000 when we put it up, it came and back at 1,000 for each club.
So, Councillor Shinton, where does that leave us today? If that was a...
Like Ray said, I suppose it's never been rescinded. It's something that's just been lost in the mire. And we brought it up a couple of years ago when these started to come out, because they were automatic almost. You know, like there was the CWAs, men's shed who were paying rates, if they were paying it, they were 50%. But I notice now like Coonabarabran Men's Shed, for instance, has free rental, but we're giving them $1,000. This is it's quite amazing. You know, like we've replaced these things with other things. I don't know why we're doing that.
I think that's the reason for why I thought we should have a review to look at this, because the whole area needs a good tidy up.
Yeah, but we have a budget that's shockingly in deficit, and we're still giving away things here. Northwest Expo used to get 1,000, but they got 1,000 last year and haven't spent it. So you don't hand it out if they haven't spent it. But all the churches used to be there. But here's a beauty: Warrumbunga Wildlife Shelter. How the hell? Why are we paying for people to look after wild animals? It's injured animals. We've got the wise people. 50% of your rates. I looked after really sick cattle not so long back, and now I know how to get the money back. Apply for 50% of my rates. You know, like some of these things, like you can't explain, I don't think. Definitely needs a good, hard look at. But, because I think we're definitely wasting money here. But, in the present situation where we've got a budget like that, we shouldn't be doing this. But, anyway. It's going to be reviewed next.
Be that as well, with that budget situation, what are you suggesting we do with this sleeper motion from the
party? If the council are happy with what's been done here, then and that's in the motion to endorse all of this, then I suppose they endorse it. But otherwise, you can go through and pluck stuff out. And that's up to you guys. that's just my opinion, what should come out. But I got a bit of a shock when I saw that we're sponsoring a person to look after injured animals. And when we've got the national park just up there, heaps of vets in town and a wires person who's doing the same job, and we don't pay anything for that.
So would you like to move an amendment to adjust any of these?
It's like I say, it's up to the councillors. Yes, I would like to adjust some of these, but if the feeling is no, the staff have done it on an existing format, then I'll go along with that. But in my opinion, there's some things here that we can pluck out.
Councillor Lewis.
Yeah, I just want to know, are those three race clubs going to be included, yea or nay? Because
Would you like to move that as?
Well, I shouldn't have to move it because it's an existing resolution of council. When we used to do the budgets, there were things automatically in there before we even started talking about it. Public halls, several different things, going back to 04 or whenever we started off. And who's changed it?
So, just a comment. Guidelines that we have at present. In the guidelines that we have at present, the organisation has to apply.
But wasn't that the original resolution has not been rescinded? I'm not a lawyer, but I thought if you had done a change, things you had to put a rescission motion in and take the resolution out of the system.
Or a new motion.
Yeah.
So I think when council adopted the guidelines, that's when it's changed.
Have to go back to 2005 to find that one out.
No, it's back to when the guidelines were adopted.
I'll move that the three race clubs get their normal sponsorship or donation and that it be set in concrete if they get it. Because I know Binaway in particular and Mandora, well, Binaway's already building up for their race club race meeting as I speak. There's people coming back left, right and centre.
Well, I think we can accept the first part of your idea, which is you can move that they be included in the spending, but I don't think we can go any further than that bad binding it.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, just to tidy process up, we already have an existing motion before us, and that is that council adopt 1 through 5 of the recommendation. Can we just simplify that a little bit? Remove point 2, adopt the rest as discussed, that with the adjustment done through closed council, and then we move on to the donations and do them as a separate item. Is that acceptable to council, Mr. Mayor?
I just do the point 2 as a separate item.
Yes.
I think that'd be the straight way forward.
That's 1, 3, 4, and 5 of the recommendation with the adjustment of the rates from closed council. Councillor Lewis was the seconder to that. Is Councillor Lewis agreeable?
We'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. That's the $46 million part. Now we'll spend a bit of time talking about $13,000.
Right. So a motion there from Council, Mr. Mayor, either going through and dealing with those one by one or someone put forward a proposal.
Once again, Mr. Mayor, I'd call a point of order on the fact that Mandoran and Coonabarabran didn't put in a submission because they didn't think they had to. They were just expecting their normal donation or sponsorship. It's not fair on them what we're doing.
That effectively comes out of this year's. Mandoran didn't get it this financial year?
No, I don't. They got it last year, but they haven't got it this year. They didn't even put in for it this year because last year they were told that they'll get it every year, and they've been told that year in, year out.
Now what I'm asking is, did they get their $1,000 this financial year? They haven't put in for next financial year.
Yeah, as far as I know, the three clubs got it last year.
It's this current financial year. So it's interesting it's suddenly fallen off only in the last 3 months, really.
But did Mandoran conduct a race meeting last year? So they might be a bit like the Expo. Did they get the money in?
Did they receive the money? That's the other question.
The three organisations were paid their $1,000 in this year.
This financial year, even though they didn't operate due to COVID.
Well, the decision of council.
Yeah.
That's that's my point. It's interesting they didn't have to apply for that money the previous budget, but now they're having to. So we weren't even doing due diligence on the current guidelines.
But it would seem, though, that if they got the $1,000 last year and didn't run the race meeting...
Yeah, this year, you'd be spending your, you know, the money that you've already been given to run your meeting, same as the expo decision. Yeah.
Last year? Well, they got it for this year.
No. Not getting it this year, for next financial year.
So, in your hands, councillors, what would you propose we do with additions or subtractions? I just had one, which I thought the Cooler Preschool received some money under the financial assistance grants, and then they're backed up again in this one, so they're getting two goes.
Is they're that... a totally self-funding. They're a bit different to, say, Yulawarri up here. They don't get anywhere near the government funding that others do.
A quick search of the not-for-profit charities website leads me to conclude that they're doing better financially than we are. They're running at a profit. But,
well, they have to shut their doors if they don't.
So is that number 18 you're talking about? Preschool kindergarten.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, because I said was, what happens next year? Yeah, you know, how we're going to fund $1,000 a year for an excess electricity bill? Why are we doing that? You know, like, you've got to fix this. You can't go on just paying excess bills all the time.
Again, back to the need for the review of the guidelines, because I think this is an example, Councillor Shinton, that you've quite rightly pointed out is not what I think council's financial assistance for different groups is all about. It's not an annual thing for it's for one-offs. But anyway,
is that in or out, Mr. May?
What do you think?
Well, yeah, like I'm quite prepared. I'm happy with everything he's done, everything that's been decided, except the Dunedoo lines. They've got a $500 one for printing. Suddenly we're throwing in 2,000. What is that for?
What number is that, Councillor?
That's number 3. And again, number 4, you know, the Coonabarra men should get their free. You know, we pay the rates on all the other men sheds if they rate it. And that's it. We didn't, Coonabarra has a freebie. So they don't get anything.
Okay. Well, we've got a few. I've just timely advice about a possible way forward. If we have a question about one, have a show of hands in or out, and we'll see how that goes.
When these are decided, they go into the documentation to do with the budget, and so people can comment on.
Kick off, righto. Starting from the top, Barradine Rugby League Football Club. We didn't get anything. Coonamish Boxing Gym, number 3, we'll move down to Dunedoo Lions Club for the Arts Unlimited. They ask for $2,000 and the recommendation is $2,000.
Where are we now?
What page are we on now?
Page 43. So we've gone back to item 12 of the draft operational plan.
Me, that shouldn't be 2,000. They got $500 in the $500 grants for the same thing, to assist in printing and promotion. And I know that was to produce a video for advertising. So,
give a suggestion.
They
1,000. Councillor agreeable to that? Show of hands. Councillors, $1,000. I know. Very good. Manshed.
I would have thought nothing.
Councillor agreeable to that? You.
Well, it puts them on par with the other ones.
They get there for free.
Yeah.
And the others we pay 50% of their rates and 50% of water and sewage and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. Are we in or are we out with this? Show of hands if you want to keep the $1,000.
Keep the 1,000. Yeah. Oh, no, I'd like the 1,000 to go somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, no, out, in my opinion.
Okay. 5-0. Number 6. Barrowden Amateur Swimming Club. Yes or no? $500 for them. I think we can keep that in.
It's a broken clock. $500.
In or out? Yeah, leave it in?
Yep.
Okay, keep it in. Barrowden CWA?
Yep, that's right.
They're in. Happy with that, councillors? Kern Barrowden CWA, same deal, I would
yep,
be thinking.
Yep,
50%. Turn the page. Kill the Presbyterian Church. In, okay. Riding for the disabled. Happy there.
Yeah, it's got to stay.
Yes. Done in blue, Presbyterians. Unanimity, I suppose we better keep them all together. Expo we've dealt with, Cooler Club we've dealt with, District Chamber of Commerce.
Three signs. $500. Who is we're on 7 now.
The little the old house just out here across the road from Roach's.
Okie doke, so. Chambers of Commerce, yes or no? Are we in? No. I think.
No.
Rebel? You think keep it in?
Okay.
Okay, with a quick show of hands on that one. In?
Which one?
Okay, we're in. Very good. Cooler Preschool. Requested 2,000, recommendation is 1,000.
We're not fixing this. $1,000 to pay for the electricity bill. What are we going to do? They'd be better going for somebody to fix the building.
What's our building?
Yeah, well, let's talk to Kevin or someone, whoever owns buildings. Yeah, okay.
So possibly what needs to happen there is a change of lights to LEDs.
We'll leave that one out, Council. Is that what we're doing? Okay. Right, out. Warramongle Wildlife Shelter, number 19.
Yeah, I'm for that in, because I see what she does.
That's all right. Well, we put that show of hands and no worries at all. Those in? Councillor Brady? And out? Okay, so it's out. Flying mice.
Well, again, they applied for $1,500. $500 is not going to do anything. And there's Seniors Week funding for the Seniors Week part of it. So, you know, is $500 going to do anything for anybody?
Yes, we leave it in.
They're a new organisation in town. I don't know. They leave it in at 500.
Well, if they're new, they're learning. Yeah. So they probably...
Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it in. That's the feeling. Don't do community group. Yes, we're in. Half their rights, yeah. Boonaway Jockey Club. $1,000.
Well, that's the 1,000 we've been talking about, isn't it?
Boonaway Jockey Club. $1,000, Councillor Lewis.
$1,000 for the three of them, what I reckon.
Well, I think Mandoran got theirs last year and didn't have a race meeting.
In a way, if they got theirs last year, they wouldn't have no races.
No.
And we want to include Coonabarabran in Mendoran as well.
What we're asking, if they got given the money last year and couldn't use it...
Double up.
We need to find that out.
We need to have Mr. Parker to verify whether it was paid out or not due to COVID.
If it was paid out last year, then they don't get it. If it was not paid, then his proposal would be there.
Yeah, if they didn't race last year, then they didn't spend the money.
Councillor agreeable to that?
All three. And can I suggest there are either, since we have the guideline review, they probably need to be informed they have to apply annually going forward, not assume.
That will depend upon what the review comes up with.
Yeah, but if that's what the review comes up with, that it's not locked in stone.
Mr. Mayor, so as it stands at the moment, $1,000 be applied to Binaway, Coonabarabran, Mendoran, unless they received it last year.
And didn't race.
Yes.
In this year.
And didn't race. Right. Okay, number 23, Cooley Youth and Community Centre, 50% general rate water access. Yes, sounds fair enough to me. Happy with that. Catholic Parish of St Lawrence's, 50% annual water sewer and access charges. In. Be the same with the Anglicans, if I'm thinking. Dunedoo Polo Cross, requested 2,000, recommended 500.
This will bring in a lot of people for a weekend. Cooler hosted, and that ground had over, I think it was over 4 horses.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a big event.
Big event, so we're in?
Yeah, they got 280 in the other one too, out of the 500.
Okay, we're in.
500 here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. There we go, that's it. Yeah, we did, sorted that out. We did that.
So a motion there to adopt those or include those donations in the council operational plan.
We get a move in a second now. Councillor Todd. Councillor Brady, thank you very much. We'll put that as amended list to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Well, councillors, that brings us to the end of the business paper for this evening. Thank you for your...
Mr. Mayor.
Corporate.
I'd like to ask the question, what's going to happen on Anzac Day?
Well?
At our reeves, yes.
Who can go where? Cooler? Oh, Councillor Todd, you can go too. Aradine, Councillor Capel, Cooler.
On service at Mendoran, the 11 o'clock one at Binaway. Might need a wheelchair, but...
So does anyone from Coonabarabran want to... I'm going to be going to them, but we want to share it around. So does anyone from Coonabarabran want to be near away?
Yeah, I'm away in Sydney.
Pete, would you like to...
Me do Dawn the Dawn.
Well, I'm going to be there, but would you like to do the wreath at one of them?
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. I'll just attend. Yep, very good.
Righto. So we just need to tee those up.
Don't do...
I'll give Wendy a ring. Right, thank you for that, Councillor Todd, for jogging our memories there. And with that, we'll
close the meeting. Thank you for your attendance and your contributions, and we'll hopefully we have fair winds and fair sky for Saturday for the wings and things at the aerodrome.